This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
And first up, we're going to look at the business stories that are making the front pages and indeed the business pages of this morning's papers. I'm delighted to be joined by Gerry O'Sullivan. He's a local man. I think he hails originally from the Atlantic Bar, a place I was in last night. And he's also a host of Kerry Today on Radio Kerry. Gerry, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Bobby.
Also welcome us. Also with us is Sinead Kelleher from out the road in Kilwegarvan. She's from the Kerryman newspaper. So you're both very welcome to the programme. And Sinead, I might just start with you with the lead story in today's Independent. Speed limit reductions are welcomed, but poor condition of local roads must be addressed. And this must be very pertinent in an area such as Kinmare.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these new speed limits were brought in yesterday, so they're quite new to people. So, but they are one of the reasons that were brought in is because accidents on these roads. But as road safety campaigners have said in this morning's paper, that is also we must look at the conditions of these roads. And this is a very factor, speed and condition are both factors that was brought in together. In this story today, Donna Price of the Irish Road Victims Association has said it's very hard to get information on the exact causes of accidents, speed being just one of them.
I'd suggest, Gerry, that, you know, things like road conditions, you're looking at liability issues, etc. So it's probably obvious that no one really wants to talk about them, particularly if a road is in a bad condition and it's somebody's responsibility.
Yeah, that's the big question, all of this, I suppose. And what this has done is it's a big change, like going from 80 to 60 on all your L roads across the county. There's 3,000 kilometres of L roads, and always on the programme and always listeners getting in touch will be talking about the condition of their local roads. And what they mean really is the road most local to them.
Yeah.
The couple of kilometres that links them onto the regional road or the national road or the non-secondary road. So they're being told now speed limits coming down. And while there would be support for that in terms of like safety, obviously, and getting the numbers down because they're slightly on the increase over the last number of years, people are asking questions saying, well, look, I can't even go 80 on my local road because the potholes are so bad. And the cost of it, and that's what, like, the council have a very long list of roads to be maintained. And the questions being asked now, I suppose, by local authorities, but obviously local politicians and residents are, well, when is my road going to be done? And when are the roads going to be improved? And they're asking questions like asked in the story in the Indo with Caroline Doherty. She was talking to Donna Price of the Irish Road Victims Association. And they were pointing out the fact that one third of accidents, speed is a factor in it. However, what's less known, which I didn't realise until reading this, was the condition of the road. It's harder to get, and Donna Price said, it's very hard to get information regarding the contributory causes of road crashes, even for the families involved. So that's a concern. And that goes to what you said. Is that to do with liability? Is that why we're not getting the figures?
Thanks for that, Gerry. Sinead, our second story, we're all going to pay for the storm, or are we? Is the question, or are we?
This seems to be the big question, all right. And there's quite a lot of anger about comments made this week earlier that we will have to pay dearly for this storm. Now, since these were said in RTÉ earlier in the week, this story reports here that there's been, you know, that why should we have to pay for these? And they talk about the state funding and what the ESB has, but they have rolled back somewhat on what they said earlier in the week, that they won't be brought in straight away, these price increases, to pay for the storm. Now, they're saying this is because this is one of the worst storms in decades. But at the same time, there's going to be more storms. And are we continuously going to have to pay for this damage? And what can be done to try and stop this or mitigate it in some way? It's quite frightening for people to know that electricity is already going up in a country that pays high electricity anyway. So,
I'd suggest that the finances here are slightly complicated. You've got ESB networks, you've got ESB, you've got the retail arm of ESB, you've got capital infrastructure, and you've got the government, who've pulled 1.5 billion out of the ESB in 11 years, Gerry.
Yeah.
And that is significant that money, like, you know, the ESB, its annual profits, they almost appear outrageous. They argue that they need to have strong profits so that they can reinvest. But I think if that 1.5 billion had been kept in the ESB rather than whittled away in general government departments, we might have been better served.
Maybe. Yeah, that could. That's a very valid question. That's John Mulligan in the Indo saying the state's pulled that money out of the ESB, and they're asking now, and everyone's asking, well, why did the public have to pay when the public were paying into that all along to try and upgrade the network? And like, this story is interesting. There, he makes the point the ESB have been playing catch up in terms of resilience of the network. The network is needed to be upgraded just to meet the demands of the growing economy and the expanding population. At the same time, it has to address the effects of climate change. So how tough are the poles? Do they need to be replaced, the cabling? And one of the statistics out of the story here and stories from the week was Ireland has one of the most dispersed populations in Europe. It has four times per capita the length of cable of any other European country. We don't live in clusters, but that's the reality of where we are. So it's going to take a lot of money to maintain that. And where's the money going to come from? And that question, or that interview that Paddy Hayes, the chairman of the ESB, did, which is referenced in this story again,
you'd have to wonder
what was he doing in terms of saying, while people were still without power, oh, by the way, you're all going to have to pay more money to fix this storm, when people were infuriated by the length of time it's taken to get parts of the country back up and running.
Well, he's saying something different this morning, so
backpedaling,
I think maybe
furiously,
somebody might have had a word in his ear.
Yeah. But it's the wider question from that is, and it's referenced as well, how is the future going to go and how much money will have to be spent and who's going to pay? And there's a story this morning from the Mail, we will all pay for the storm, but ESB says it won't be until late 2026. After a price hike branded a sick joke. So they're saying, well, it's not going to be too bad. You'll pay for it, but not right now. That's not going to, I suppose, make many people feel too confident or happy. But that question then goes to, look, we have to upgrade the grid anyway, because we're meant to be bringing renewable energy. It's going to take billions to upgrade it to be able to take the power that's meant to be coming from offshore. And so those are the sort of questions that have to be answered all of this.
Not to be trite about it, but the customer always pays one
eventually,
way or another,
yeah.
I think.
We've already paid with Storm Orphelia as well, so yes.
Sinead, what about Trump, Daniel Mulhall, telling us that it would be a huge mistake for Micheál Martin to snub an invitation to the White House on St. Patrick's Day? We have seen, as he tells us, an abrasive, disruptive start to his presidency. It's a bit of a whirlwind. Yeah. People are trying to keep up with it almost.
I think he says here in this story, which I think a lot of us thought, you know, he was among those who had thought there'd be a reasonable chance that Trump might bask in the glory and not actually do what he said he'd do. But it turns out he's actually doing what he said he'd do.
And more.
Yes, absolutely. But I think in this piece here in the end, Daniel Mulhall is right. He said the lines of communication must be kept open. And if, when the invitation is issued that we must go to America for St. Patrick's Day, and he is right. I mean, the lines of communication are very important. It's about meeting people over there, talking to people over there. And it's not just talking to the president himself, but all the different organizations that we meet in America. These trips are usually important, and there's no point snubbing Donald Trump. It's going to achieve absolutely nothing, you know, and that's what he's kind of saying in this piece. It won't do any good for Ireland to snub him, snubbing someone isn't...
We're walking a tightrope here, diplomatically, Gerry.
Yeah.
Trying to keep Trump and the US on side, because we've so much at stake as a nation. But at the same time, we're angered about some of the stuff he's doing. And if we speak about that anger, we might be punished.
Yeah, and look, that piece is interesting as well. He talks about Enda Kenny and Leo Varadkar, how they both established a decent enough rapport with Donald Trump back in 2016, saying it's going to be more difficult this time around because there's more of a free-willing figure during the first term. And there's a sense from what Trump has been doing for the last couple of weeks that in 2016, he had people around him who were putting the brakes on him, and he wasn't used to it. It was his first time. Now he's in and the handbrake is off. There's nobody around him who's saying no or saying that's not a good idea, Mr. President. It's all, yes, Mr. President, whatever the idea is. Bulldoze Gaza, yes, Mr. President, no problem. So how is Micheál Martin going to deal with that? No, he's a practical guy. And I think the thing to do with, like Sinead said, is you maintain the relationship for the people around him, the congressmen and congresswomen, the senators. Those are relationships we need to maintain to try maybe and offset whatever damage tariffs are going to do.
Yeah,
in the midterm.
And speaking of that, we have a piece from Patrick Honan in today's Indo about these said tariffs, Sinead, and how they're going to the Trump's tariff war is that Ireland is more exposed than any other European country. And we are.
Ireland, I mean, it's long known our relationship with the US, and these tariffs are quite, it's hard to know yet exactly how they will impact, but with plans in, you know, to impose tariffs on Europe, we work with Europe, so it's going to be kind of all together in this situation. But it's the reaction to it and how we're going to manage it and what the effect would be. It's all very unknown, and it's quite worrying. This piece here is talking about exactly the impact it will have on Ireland and how to find a way forward in this.
One of the things, Gerry, that he says, which caught my eye, was that tariffs, no matter how high, cannot generate nearly enough revenue to replace income tax.
Yeah.
In other words, they're an own goal.
That's right. He's saying, like, some of the enthusiasts out there who are cheering on Donald Trump are saying, like, they don't like the income taxes, progressive income taxes. So they're saying we can replace them with tariffs. But Honan's saying, look, when you do the sums, quickly emerges that there's no matter how high a tariff is, you cannot generate nearly enough revenue to replace income taxes where everybody pays. And the other thing he points, he said, look, the uncertainty generated by all of this is the real killer. Like, who knows whether Trump will go ahead? Like, this week he threatened Canada and Mexico. He came away saying, I got a great deal, but really he didn't get anything that they hadn't already promised to do. So there's a lot of bluff to it. But then again, he put tariffs and kept them on China. So the killer is the uncertainty. And like, and I hear you on this program every week, Bobby, you're saying uncertainty in business. That's the one thing that they don't like. And he's just a full-time uncertainty generator at the moment, which is not great for
me. It kind of scares me about what's yet to come.
He's causing uncertainty right across the world.
Let's go to Donal O'Donovan's piece on the National Asset Management Agency, NAMA, again, about to be wound up. Looking at the numbers and looking at the sums, Sinead, you know, there's a bit of a sort of a positive spin on this, that NAMA will have handed $5.2 billion in cash to the state when it shuts down at the end of the year. But we have to remember that it was a $72 billion ticket if we go back to the original loan. So there's still a $60 billion write-down here.
Yeah, well, the figures seem to be very positive, and it sounds like we have loads of money coming to us from the $5.2 billion. When we go back to those original figures, it's not so much in the grand scheme of things. And that's what Donal O'Donovan's pointing out here. You know, it's been around now for quite a long time, and it's, you know, excuse me, you know, it's been providing money to the state for a while, but it's still nowhere near what we've lost in it in total. I mean, $5.2 billion is very small in the grand scheme of things, I think.
The state's own controller and auditor general put the net cost to taxpayers of rescuing the Irish banks at $42 billion, and that was back in 2022.
So we shouldn't
forget that number.
No.
You know, all this stuff about, you know, $5.2 billion in cash being surplus and all that, those original numbers cannot be forgotten.
Yeah, there's an interesting coincidence in the papers this morning. We were talking about Patrick Holohan. He was the man who came on radio in November of 2010 saying, sorry, lads, the game's up. When the government weren't telling us that, we're going to need a bailout. And this is the cost of that, the financial cost anyway of that bailout, let alone the human cost and the damage done to business and people's jobs and everything else like that. So that's the interesting point about it. They talk as well about the story talks about, you know, houses and house building. And one of the points that was made by the former Minister for Housing, Owen Murphy, he's written a book, Running from Office, and he was talking about he had an idea in 2017 when he took over to turn NAMA into a house building entity. He wanted to be more radical. Now, the brakes were put on that for various different reasons. At the time, one of the regrets he had that wasn't allowed to go forward. But if that had been done, maybe it would have gone some way to trying to ameliorate the housing crisis that we're in now. But it is kind of frightening. 15 years later from that 2010, we're still dealing with NAMA. And we still really are dealing with the fallout from the financial crisis in many sectors of our society, particularly in the housing one.
Sinead, I want to give you the last call on a story. The end of an era in Kerry as Bridie departs her Fiery's shop after 25 years. Fiery's is near Farn Four, I understand it.
Yeah. It's these kind of stories, I think, that makes, you know, it's a sad day for a small community, and we're here talking on the business show. So stories like this are important. You know, she's contributed a huge amount to the local community, and I can see here by the story written by Fergus Dinahy, our journalist. It's about people saying goodbye to her and thanking her for all her time, and especially the local school kids who came down to her. So it's these kind of sad, you know, it's sad that a shop has closed in a small little community like this. when we're talking about a business show and trying to keep communities going. And these play a huge role in the community, particularly in the lives of the school children here who went down there every day. And people met there, and the kids met people there, and they presented her with gifts, which, you know, was a lovely touch to say goodbye. But I suppose the story is as well how sad it is that the business had to close. Now, reasons haven't been given by Bridie. Maybe it's personal. But nonetheless, it's a small shop closing in a community that, you know.
Yeah. Last word to you, Gerry. Walking around Kinmare yesterday, I saw a wonderful collection of individual shops, like laundrettes spliced with internet cafes, hardware shops that also sold fashion items, like those old school shops that do so much. They're not in any one kind of genre.
Yeah.
They're selling paint, they're selling tools, they're selling kitchen appliances.
Yeah, it's,
there's still a few of them left.
Yeah,
and they're very precious.
If you talk about tourism and attracting people into, like, your experience you described at the start of the program this morning is what we want people to come to Kinmare for. We want those shops to be open for the local community, for the vibrancy of the town centre. But then you're up against it. Like, Sinead, we don't know the reason, but there have been shops that have closed down because it has gotten too tough. The cost of ingredients, the cost of input, the cost of labour. The rates, like in this town last year, rates were increased by a lot for a lot of businesses, and they're still struggling to deal with that and stay open. And then you have, like, you know, the competition, whether it's Shein or Temu or online, the orders coming in or the Amazons, like, where are the rates for those companies competing with the small shops here who have to pay the local authority? And if small shops close down, the rates are
gone. We all lose.
So the local authority is in trouble. So I think it's something the government are going to have to grapple with to try and figure out how to support the small businesses against the bigger entities that are taking their customers.
I want to thank you both for your contributions.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.